ever imagined when we started to plan for these Holy Week series of meditations, and even indeed Good Friday and Easter Sunday, that we would have to do so from a safe distance from one another. We never imagined that we wouldn't be able to gather to celebrate these key dates and experiences, times when we gather together to acknowledge this common heritage, this wonderful faith, all made possible by Jesus on the cross. We never imagined that we wouldn't be able to do that together. But here we are in 2020, not able to meet at Belgate, but nevertheless, technology permits us to do things which years ago wouldn't have been possible at all. Much as we sometimes regret the advances that technology makes and the intrusions on our lives, still, here we have a wonderful example of how it enables us to bridge the distance which we have to keep from one another at this time. And by singing together that wonderful old Easter hymn, "My Song is Love Unknown," chapter 12, verses 20 to 33. "Now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the feast. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. 'Sir,' they said, 'we would like to see Jesus.' Philip went to tell Andrew. Andrew and Philip in turn told Jesus. Jesus replied, 'The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. I tell you the truth, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. The man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honour the one who serves me. Now my heart is troubled, and what shall I say? 'Father, save me from this hour?' No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. 'Father, glorify your name.' Then a voice came from heaven, 'I have glorified it and will glorify it again.' The crowd that was there and heard it said it had thundered. Others said it sounded like an angel had spoken to him. Jesus said, 'This voice was for your benefit, not mine. Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. But I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself.' He said this to show the kind of death he was going to die." In the past couple of weeks, you may well have joined millions of others who stood on their doorsteps and showed their respect, admiration and gratitude for those who serve in the NHS or in community and voluntary groups during the current crisis, sometimes at great personal risk. We're very aware today that there are those who nobly take risks to give life-saving or life-enhancing help to others. At such times as these, many seem to rediscover a capacity for selflessness and concern for the well-being of others. And it's amazing to realise that however virtuous these acts of kindness and sacrifice are, they offer only a dim reflection of the burning passion God has for the world he created, and more specifically for humanity. However counterintuitive it is, we rightly see the suffering of Christ as part of God's plan, the only way to restore those to faith who see the cross as it's truly meant to be seen, for it's only the cross that leads us into right relationship with God. At this stage in Holy Week, Jesus is there in Jerusalem. He's committed. He knows what's to come, yet his focus is still on helping those around him to understand and build that precious life-giving relationship with the Father, and on preparing his disciples to be light to the world, even as his own light is about to be extinguished. That is all that was visible to the disciples then. They didn't yet understand that the light would return more powerfully than ever at Pentecost, just as Jesus promised it would, shining through them and through others like them who would selflessly give themselves fully to the knowledge and the preaching of the gospel of life. As we read these verses in chapter 12 of John's gospel, After the acclaim which met his arrival in Jerusalem, we see Jesus telling his disciples that the pivotal moment in human history is approaching. But there may be a problem. He seems to speak in riddles. He says he will be killed, but this will glorify him. He says that those who love life as they currently live it will lose life as it will be eternally. The world is about to be judged, but he, the judge, is about to die. And when he dies, he says, he will draw all people to himself. What are the disciples to make of these apparent contradictions? We, of course, look backward to the death and the resurrection of Jesus, to the coming of the Holy Spirit, and to the phenomenal growth of the church, and we may do so with the benefit of seeing the full picture. Yet it's perhaps both an irony and a tragedy that many who have the tools and the information to see God's wonderful provision in the sacrifice of Christ lack the faith to see him for who he truly is, the world's only Saviour, who loved us so much that he not only took risks for us, but gave everything for us.